Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right, our number two, Dusty and Cam in the morning. Thank you for being with us and letting us be a part of your morning. Appreciate you. Tuesday, we're making Tuesdays great again. You know, we're making them happy. We're gonna have a bunch of fast food delivered for you, Cam. Can't cook any of the food here for you.
Can't. No, government shut down. We're gonna. To make sure, to make do with what you could.
That's right. We're going to try and make you happy on this Tuesday morning because we, if you missed the first hour of the show, go check it out, the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. We came to the conclusion again that Tuesdays suck, but well, we're going to make them happy. Worst day of the week.
It's the lowest ranked. Glaff has full.
A what? glaff has full?
Something like that.
It.
Glass.
Right, you are.
Half full mentality.
Yeah.
It's the lowest ranked day of the power ranking of the seven. Right. I'm going to give it a seven.
Ooh. Hey, so you're telling me it's top seven of top days seven. Of the week?
Top seven.
Huh? You'll take that.
You take your power rank. Everybody has a power ranking of days.
If your favorite college football team was ranked seventh, you'd be pretty happy. Just so happens Tuesday's out of 7 days of the week.
That's unfortunate. Does it mean it's last? It's okay.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite days in college. We had...
What bar was it?
The Oak Tree.
Okay, yeah.
The Oak Tree Bar and Grill.
Yeah.
Down in Ashland.
Ours was Dante's.
And it was $2 22-ounce Tuesdays.
Yep, it was $2 pitchers at Dante's.
Yeah. $2 22, you could walk in there with 10 bucks and have yourself a grand old time.
I don't think you could do that anymore in this world. Because it was Pabst Blue Ribbon, probably, or if it was Coors Light at the time.
It was any domestic.
Oh, any domestic?
Any domestic. It got wild. Yeah. And it was lucky for me, I lived within walking distance. Huh?
Attaboy.
How about that?
Attaboy.
Was that intentional and or strategic?
No. No.
We sure?
Yep.
Did you think you would ever be like Ron White and be drunk in public on your way home?
All the time. All the time, sounded Mr. Like Cleland. It. All the time, mm-hmm. Mr. Cleland. All right. It is, we had a day for every day of the week, except for Mondays. We took Mondays off. But we had a place that we went every day of the week. Well, that we could go to. We
didn't actually college. Go there. I mean, if you're in college, you're going to have a bar rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's part of the thing.
Yeah. Tuesday is Oak Tree. Wednesday is Omar. Thursday is Catwalk. Or no, Hong Kong.
I remember.
Friday's House Party. Saturday's mm-hmm. Catwalk.
I don't know if I can remember all four of mine.
Monday's Sunday's
Goldie's. Two Dante's. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, Thursday was the Duchess. Mm-hmm. Friday, we didn't do anything on Friday because that was game day. Yeah. That was the night before.
Night before.
Well, I don't hold know on. About Wednesday.
You did that rotation during football season?
Sometimes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a different era now. I wouldn't do that now. I don't think there are a lot of college kids that do that now. It's just, there's too much going on. It's a little different world then. Maybe there's a few football players that do that.
Come on, son.
I'm not saying that they don't.
Yeah. But just not as many.
Yeah.
Right now, it's 7:06.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story.
compelling, and rich.
Brought to you on the Fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Does this get you a little excited? Pat Bailey and the defending national champion Oregon State Beavers baseball team.
Say that again.
Yeah.
That's awesome, by the way.
They start their season in their defense of the title 1 month from today.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And baseball season. I'm so excited.
D1Baseball.com came out with their top 25 rankings yesterday. The Beavers come in at 8th in the preseason rankings. Vanderbilt is the number one, followed by LSU, Texas Tech, Louisville, UCLA, Florida, North Carolina, then Oregon State. The only other Pac-12 team ranked is Stanford at 12. But that means the Beavs are a consensus top 10 team. Yep. Number 2 by Perfect Game, number 7 by Collegiate Baseball. D1 Baseball has them 8th.
The more I sit back and get to talk about this, the more I'm just enamored with what Coach Casey was able to do by winning 3 national championships in Oregon State. All these other high-power, high-offense, warm weather groups that sit back and go, come to us, it's warm. All they did is just be national champs 3 times. Incredible.
Yeah, it is.
There's no other northern team that could claim that.
Yeah. No, that's true.
No way.
We also have a text on the Better You Today text line. It says, 1980 in Ashland, the iPub, $1 for 10 Dixie cups of domestics till 9:15. Still do that.
How about the little Dixie cup shooters?
No, they're like bigger ones.
I know. The one you used to take the Kool-Aid back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like a little bit bigger than the small.
How much? $1 for 10 of those?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they upped the size, and then it was just dollar beers.
Hot Ashland talk.
Gosh. Well, it's a college beer drinking talk. Still do that. Still
sure
do
it.
Something's never changed. You said things may change. They don't change. No. With Dylan Mitchell out and leaving for the NFL draft early, Juwan Johnson, a Penn State wide receiver, he's known for that catch against Ohio State, I think, 2 years ago on the sidelines, kind of like inverted one-hander. He was taking a visit to the University of Oregon because they just got a bunch of young guys, so they may go draft. They're going to the portal.
You almost said draft.
No.
Yeah, I know.
I was grad transfer.
Grad transfer?
Grad transfer route to find their next wide receiver. He was on campus yesterday.
That college football world is sure is changing, and it's changing for the better. As much as everybody wants to fight it, you earn your degree, get in a grad transfer, and once you get in the portal, your job is done. And if you only have, again, 4 years of your life that you can have eligibility to play college football, and if you don't get a chance to play in that spot, why wouldn't you go play one more somewhere else? Garner Minshew is an example of why exhaust every opportunity in your life to finish and play. You don't stay where you don't want wanted. You go give it a shot because that guy's going to end up being on Sundays because he made a change. You always do it.
And you can go and check out college bars in a new town. Get a new rotation.
I see where your mind is.
He can go to Taylor's and Rennie's, right? Buck, isn't that your rotation down there? Taylor's, Rennie's, Max's?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Perfect. That's right where my head
is.
Little
Fathoms right beneath Pegasus Pizza as well.
Don't know what that means. Gary Kubiak has left the Denver Broncos. Remember, John Elway was blocking his interviewing for offensive coordinator jobs prior to the hiring of Vic Fangio. Well, Fangio said, I want to go a different direction with my OC. So the Minnesota Vikings have hired Gary Kubiak to just be a consultant as Kevin Stefanski is still the OC there.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting move. He's going and joining up with his son, I guess, who's the quarterback's coach.
Yeah. It's a good move. Consultant sounds like a really good deal. You don't have to worry about any of the crap and the jargon. You can just consult on what you think is a good offense.
No doubt about it.
I love that. That sounds great.
Also, Nathaniel Hackett is going to be the Green Bay Packers OC in name for Matt LaFleur. He led the very dynamic offense of Jacksonville before being fired midway through the season.
Now, Aaron Rodgers is the offensive coordinator. Just to let you know.
I have a question about that. How many quarterbacks do you think really do just say, nah, screw it, they're the OC? You know?
On every quarterback has the option to change a play.
That's not what I'm saying. It's like...
You want to know how many do it because they feel like they do it?
Like, we know Josh McDaniels calls a play.
Yeah.
But it's like, Here's an idea of what I'm thinking, Tom. Yeah. You do whatever the hell you want. Yeah. How many quarterbacks have that much autonomy in the league?
You have to be one of the best in the league to be able to do it.
So you're saying like 5 or 6
under
guys?
10. I'd say 10 and under. Okay. Somewhere in there.
All right. Eric Berry is day-to-day, according to Andy Reid yesterday. The safety missed the divisional round against the Indianapolis Colts with a heel injury. Andy Reid saying he's just day-to-day. We're not going to be sure when we know his availability, if at all, for Sunday's championship game in the AFC. Do you think we see him again this year?
Doesn't sound like it. Mm. Maybe if he makes the Super Bowl. What do you think? I don't know.
Yeah, if they make the Super Bowl. It won't.
Terrell Owens is saying.
Also, bad news. Sheldon Rankins, New Orleans Saints defensive tackle. It has been confirmed he ruptured his Achilles tendon.
And he had surgery right away. Every time I hear this, it just brings me back. I only had 3 of them, so I know very well the pain and the long. But, you know, he'll get another shot.
So guys, Tuesday morning, what's he doing right now?
Tuesday morning?
Like, he had surgery yesterday, after? What is that recovery like?
You're in a cast, man. You're sitting there. You're watching. You're feeling pretty crappy.
How?
I'd like to use other words, but.
We can imagine.
Yeah.
How long are you in that cast for?
I don't know. It was awful because the next day I was on that morphine drip and I was just like, this stuff's not working. It's awful. Awful, awful, awful. All surgeries, you know, they don't feel great.
Hey. As Dalton once said on Roadhouse, pain don't hurt. Pain don't hurt. Yeah, it does, Dalton.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. Portland Trailblazers lost their second game in as many nights last night, 115-107 to the Sacramento Kings. Damian. What are you?
Boo.
Are you booing Nick Stauskas?
Yeah, that's what everybody was doing.
My God,
were booing Nick Sauce was getting.
You know, Sauce Castillo, and his play showed. He went 1 of 4, 0 of 3 from 3. Had 1 rebound and 2 points last night. Damian Lillard, though, had 35 points on 11 of 27 shooting. While Yusuf Nurkic and CJ McCollum had rough nights themselves. Those two combined to go 5 of 21 from the field. 2 of 14 for CJ alone in the loss.
No words there. You're supposed to be the number 2 scorer.
Myers,
supposed to be an elite shooter.
Yeah. He's not. Right now.
I'm not doing that.
Myers Leonard, Jake Lehman, though. Have yourself a night, fellas.
Yeah.
Lehman, 6 of 9 from the field. Leonard, 4 of 5. But the real story of this one is Iman Shumpert trying to fight Yusuf Nurkic after the game.
Or have a conversation. We don't know really what it was.
Okay.
Just a conversation between men.
Yeah. And that's his cover. As he went to the opposite end of the arena following the game to confront Yusuf Nurkic over what he said were dirty screens.
Dirty screens, but do you think there was something else said? Do you think Yusuf mumbled something?
Yeah, of course.
I'm curious. Bad boys.
Bad boys. Hot and Cool on the Fan is brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. Right now, Area has great discount offers on qualifying equipment from Trane. Start saving today at areaheating.com. All right, you said something that sparked my interest. We had 3 teams that advanced to the conference championship games that flipped the script on glaring weaknesses in the playoffs. And you said it. It's the playoffs. It doesn't matter anymore. Why doesn't it matter? 7:15 on the Fan.
Bad boys.
Somehow our discussion about Kyler Murray playing baseball or football, we got onto Aaron Donald and the size of him. And we were talking about how, you know, stopping the run, he just all of a sudden came up huge in that game against the Dallas Cowboys, and really the entire defense of the Los Angeles Rams did a phenomenal job averaging holding Ezekiel Elliott to 2.3 yards per carry on 20 carries. And it was like, where did that come from? And you said something that we hear all the time, but it's always the big question of, okay, it's the playoffs. You don't need to. Why is it that we have 3 of the 4 teams in the championship weekend all did something that their teams have not been able to do all season long, and they completely flipped the script on it, and one of them is the run defense with the Rams, Aaron Donald. Why is it this way?
I think that because the NFL season is a marathon. It's a long, trudging, just you're just marching through week after week after week of the same thing, seeing the same teams twice. You're trying to make it through. You're trying to stay healthy, and you're really just trying to get into the dance. And now that you come through the doors and you're in the dance, the Rams had 2 weeks to prepare for the Cowboys. Trust me, when you were game planning during that time, you game planned for both Seattle and the Cowboys. Smart coaches understand they take their weaknesses and strengths, but they're putting in everything during that prior week, that bye week of rest, to make sure that even when it comes down to who you got during that week, you've already got a jump start onto it. Getting into the playoffs means everybody can have variations in their defense, and they can start the run, and they can stop the run, or they can do things and do that. The one that was as crazy as it sounds was watching the LA Chargers' inability to adjust. But if you need to focus, and like you said, with Aaron Donald and some of these teams, they know their weaknesses. Everybody knows their weaknesses. Yeah. So they focus harder and they play harder because it means more. The regular season just is not always indicative of what you're going to get in the playoffs. Because if that was true, what happened to Philly in New Orleans? What was it, 48-6? What was the final score? It was an obliteration. It was
48-7.
Yeah. Whatever. It's semantics here.
Yeah.
But then now you saw last weekend what happened. Philly storms out to a 2-touchdown lead. The Saints aren't as explosive on offense. And then what happened? Did the Philly just figure out how to play defense better? No, it's the playoffs. It means more. You change, you adjust. That's great coaching. It's also players knowing their limitations and knowing that, hey, buddy, this is the last run we go, and we go all out.
And that is, like, when you talk about Rams, that's kind of an effort-focused thing. They were league worst. They gave up a league worst 5.1 yards per rush. This season. Mm-hmm. The only team that was worse than the Kansas City Chiefs was the Rams. And the Chiefs, they kind of do the exact same thing defensively. And it wasn't just from a shutting down the run game aspect. It was on allowing points, too. Now, they'd been a lot better at home than they are on the road this year. But they held the Colts to, what, 87 yards rushing in that game, but a lot of that had to do with them playing with a big lead early. That defense looked like they transformed not just in their front four, but in their back seven as well.
Yeah.
And like the transformation for the Rams was far less than what the Chiefs had to go through, but the Chiefs did something that we haven't seen either, which is they pulled their back on third downs too, and weren't allowing third down
conversions. And the two similarities between the Chiefs and the Rams are that their offenses are super explosive, highly productive, and they give the defense the freedom to make all the kind of choices during the game where you can make a mistake, you can give up big plays, you can give up big long drives sometimes, or I'm sorry, quick playing drives, because you know you're leaning on an offense that can score just like that. They can come out and you can make a mistake on defense. You can try to bring more. You can try to get up with seven. You can try to go down into a bare defense. You could adjust any way you want in the secondary. Be the freedom to make mistakes. And that's what's great about these two teams. Remember, they have Wade Phillips, who is 71 years old, and they have a lot of great guys on defense in Kansas City that understand we have to play off our offense. Remember, the four best teams in the league are the four best offenses right now in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of fours in that comment.
There's a lot of fours.
Top four, Final Four, ones and twos, ones. There's a lot of numbers, but all of them can play offense, and all of them understand that you're going to need a little bit of defense, but you don't have to panic if you can't stop anybody.
No, and here's my the other team that's in that had a major question mark throughout the season, and it just seemed to disappear and go away, was, and this one's a little bit harder, and I want to get your thoughts on this one, because we talked about Gronkowski's role has changed and morphed, and he is he's a smasher in the run game, mm-hmm. but he wasn't very, very much used in the passing game, especially the interior offensive line for the New England Patriots, and the right side of the line especially have been an issue for New England. Shaq Mason, Dooney, and Marcus Cannon, they've had issues. All of a sudden, they come out on Sunday and they look like a completely different unit against one of the best pass rushes in the league in the LA Chargers.
Right.
That the defensive one, I get and I understand, like, the focus, ramping it up, and it's an effort mm-hmm. kind of thing. How did the Patriots offensive line look as dominant against that Chargers defense?
Well, I don't know if it was just about the dominance. It was that they picked out what the Chargers do, and they do it very simply. Gus Bradley runs a lot of zone. They run zone and they stayed in Again, a sub package, which you've heard that terminology. Sub means 7 DBs,
yeah.
Sometimes 6. And that means you're taking 7, you're rushing 4 down linemen, 2 undersized pass rushers who are not great against the run. So with that, the Patriots said, we're going to exploit the weakness is that your run defense versus us. We're going to take Gronk, which is essentially a very, very aggressive physical blocker. We're going to change and chameleon our offense to be downhill attack with Sony Michel, and we're going to have James White with little checkdowns, and then we're going to go over the top and let Julian Edelman with play action. In that order, it goes run, short pass, play action, game, set, match versus that kind of setup. And they took advantage of the Chargers because the Chargers did not adjust. They stayed in sub because that's been their base all year. And Gronk didn't need to be productive. He was physical at the point of attack, which took on Rob Gronkowski blocking an undersized defensive end or a light safety. Game over.
That is one thing we discussed, and that's a phenomenal point on that. But Tom Brady wasn't sacked one time. You know how many times he was touched by the defense? Twice.
That's what play action does.
And only one of them was by a corner who came in, and after Tom Brady, by the way, completed the pass, he hit Tom. So he was by Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram and company. It was one time that those guys were able to get to him. In the offensive line, I mean, as watching every Patriots game this season, it looked like something we had not seen all year long from them. And scheme has a lot to do with it, but my goodness, they did a great job of just flipping the narrative on what that offensive line had been all year.
And also, too, the Chargers were tired. I mean, 2 early games, 2 East Coast trips, they were exhausted. You could just see it. They didn't have the juice in that game. They tried to come out, and when a team like New England punches you in the mouth so quickly, sucks the just air out of the entire place.
Okay. We have 3 of these teams have had glaring weaknesses, all looked like they were rectified this past weekend in all 3 of them playing in their first playoff games. Which one do you have the most faith in heading into conference championship weekend that it will continue? 55305 is the better you today. Text line right now is Buck with Sports Center. All right, we were talking about it's amazing how teams can turn glaring weaknesses into just make them disappear when it comes to playoff time. And I thought that your explanations of kind of what goes into that is awesome to hear. And if you missed it, go check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. But if we're sitting here and we're looking at the Rams rush defense has been horrible. The Kansas City Chiefs have been, beaten and bludgeoned defensively time and time again this year, though they are better at home than they are on the road. And then New England Patriots offensive line, especially that right side, has had some glaring struggles throughout the course of the year. Which one of those teams do you say in those weaknesses can carry over to the next week? Because you made a great point in that those teams all had 2 weeks to prepare.
They had 2 weeks to prepare. And that's a good question. I just wanted to adjust just 1 second real quick because I thought two comments on the Better You Today text line were fantastic because it's a question that all of us want to say. We're talking about teams that elevate. This text comes in, says, stars shine during the playoffs, and Dominican Sue probably had his best game all year. He did. He's an older player. You got to save yourself for the run. And then the next text comes in and says, Patriots, there's no team better in the playoffs. Tom Brady turns into Superman this time of year. We all watch in other sports the greatness when it is the playoff time. We see it in basketball. We see it in baseball. We see it in football. Why don't we think that teams can elevate as a group? Because suddenly it's like the identity of maybe the Rams in October, they weren't great against the run. Well, that doesn't mean that they can't elevate themselves and change and be able to scheme and adjust. There's a reason why they're in the NFC Championship game because they have that ability. It's the bad teams or the average teams that can't adjust and can't point out their weakness. How many of you out there have a weakness that everybody tells you about every single day and you can't adjust and change? A lot of us. Now multiply that by 22 when you think about all the players. So great coaches, great players, and at elite level have to have the ability to change and adjust and can be able to decipher that in the average play of 7 seconds of time. That's what makes football players as a group and 11 as the game the hardest game to play in the world.
And that, to me, is why it is it's so impressive, and it's a bigger question that how does that happen? Just like, boom. All right, we're turning it around. It's done. Like, the right side of the offensive line, New England, not a concern. It was mystifying to see. Run defense, they go from averaging 5.1 yards allowed per carry this year for the Los Angeles Rams, and they give up 2.3.
It's a mindset. It's commitment. You know, as much as we want to say physical gifts, it's Aaron Donald's
cut
physically gifted.
Half.
And Dominican too is extremely physically gifted. Mm-hmm. But there also is a mindset and a will. I watched the offensive line of Seattle knock around the defensive line of the Rams during the regular season. I didn't see that versus the Cowboys. Mm. What was different?
I guess just the mindset.
No, hashtag it means more.
Ooh. Yes, it does. Okay, so of those three, the Rams, Chiefs, and Patriots, in their glaring weaknesses, the rush defense for the Rams, overall performance of Chiefs defense through the course of the year, right side of offensive line for the Patriots, which one do you have the most faith will carry over into this conference championship weekend and won't be an issue moving forward, because it could just be 2 weeks to prepare and a lot of warts get covered up?
Weather's going to be a major issue. According to what I think the Buck, you were mentioning, the weather.
It could get down to
single digits, right?
7 degrees,
I
believe, is what it could get down to over the course of the game, because it's going to be a late game over there, too.
Do you really think the Patriots know how to play in the cold? Any fear of that? No.
I do believe they know how.
Do the Chiefs, when's the last time they've been playing in the cold in the playoffs?
Last weekend.
Okay. So I don't think it's going to matter either way with that game. That game's still going to be very, very physical. It's going to be about who's got the most talent. On paper, Chiefs have the most talent. Doesn't matter against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. So I think it's more about what – I'm not worried about the right side of the offensive line.
So you think that's the one that you think will carry over of those
Absolutely.
Three teams?
Absolutely.
And what does this say about the New Orleans Saints? What is the glaring weakness of the New Orleans Saints? Because, I mean
– I think getting out of
I struggle to find it.
I don't know if there's just a blatant weakness. I think it was they were reading their own press clippings.
Yeah. They took their foot off the gas for sure.
Yeah, I like what Sean Payton did with wheeling in the money and kind of overlooking everything. You want it all. Let's start with one. I like the one game at a time mentality, but I don't mind outside the box a little craziness with Sean Payton in that. I think New Orleans got slapped in the face, and that was the wake-up call they needed to be able to make a barn burner. But we think that game is going to be this defensive struggle. I'm telling you, both defenses are going to show up in this game. It is not going to be a scoring fest. Just stick with me on this one. It's not. Defenses are going to be it's going to be intense. There's going to be physicality. There's going to be penalties. There are going to be things that you haven't seen all year. It's not going to be a 50-52 game.
Well,
this isn't the Big 12.
I liked the 45-35 game we had from them earlier this season.
Not going to be that.
All right.
It's not going to be that.
I have a feeling we won't be getting the 43-40 game we got earlier in Foxborough between
No.
Chiefs and the Patriots, too, which I think is pretty amazing, is that both these games have the exact same over-under. Mm-hmm. It's what, 57 is the over-under on both these games? And so you're looking at a game that's played in the low 30s, you know, 30 to 28, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we can kind of expect on the higher end of scoring. I'd be more inclined to take the under on these games if you're looking at the betting lines, because
I completely agree. I would take the unders on both games.
Second
but
time
I'm not
that
a, I'm not a gambler, so don't trust me on that.
Yeah, but second time you see these teams, there's a lot has changed just from a focus standpoint, too.
Just look at the Philly game.
Yeah. That's something, too, is I read the book Education of a Coach. It's about Bill Belichick and his life and kind of what and how he got to the point where he's at. And they talked about the preparation standpoint, and everybody's like, oh, you know, how do you prepare heading in? And they went through a scenario of when you have a first round bye and you don't know who you're going to be playing. Bill Belichick knows who he's going to be playing ahead of. I mean, he has his assistant coaches are all working on any possible scenario, so up to three teams. And he has got it worked out. And once that game goes over, they know who they're playing. They've got a full scouting report and game plan ready to go for every scenario. And he works a week ahead by his advanced scouting department. And every single one of these coaches has like three or four guys.
Oh, analytics guys, scouting departments, their breakdowns, the numbers, the stats. You heard Coach Reed said that yesterday. He goes, I have a guy that shows me all these stats and I can't process it all, but I like some of it and uses it. But you can't put all of that in a brain and go, oh, what does it all mean?
But almost immediately,
yeah,
it's on their desk.
Oh, of course it is.
They know exactly what's happening.
You're paid to break down and have that ready. Game planning is different, but you're paid to give the information.
At what point do you think Bill Belichick called the advanced scouting guys during the game on Saturday and said, stop preparing for the Colts?
No, he doesn't do that. It's already built in. The system's already built in.
It's 24-7 at halftime. You don't think he's like, all right.
No, he had it done prior to the game's kickoff.
It's already been addressed.
He has his team already scouting and watching that. That's the thing. It's funny thing is they don't wait. It's already done.
Mm-hmm.
They're preparing as they're already making it to the Super Bowl.
Man. Okay. And here's one thing, too. A lot of people are saying about the Patriots and Chiefs game, and we're going to have so much time to talk about this matchup. It doesn't matter if it's going to be cold outside and it's going to be 7 degrees. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes are going to throw the football.
Yeah. Tom Brady is a...
throw it a lot, too.
Tom Brady is a torquer. Like, he's a torque thrower.
I thought you said twerker.
No, he's not a twerker. Torquer. He's got a lot of shoulder torque. He's a shoulder thrower, and he's a body rotational thrower. He's always been able to hold up over time with the ability and how he drives the football because he's a full body thrower. Now, Patrick Mahomes is an unbelievable arm thrower, gifted talent, arm speed. They're both going to be able to throw the ball in cold weather. That's the difference between two. If you put Drew Brees in Kansas City this weekend, over. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees doesn't have that. Now, different guy in the dome. Yeah. Well, Jared Goff's kind of got that. He's got that shoulder throw, too. So he would be able to handle it. But you got to have an arm when it's cold. And both those, you're not going to have any problems throwing the football.
It'd be beneficial to have two arms.
Now, who wears a glove is a different thing.
Oh, Tom wears glove. Oh, he always wears glove.
He didn't wear glove last week.
He wore glove
on the left hand. Yeah, he didn't wear it on the throwing hand.
He won't go throwing hand. He goes opposite.
But that's what I'm saying. Does anybody wear gloves? Do the quarterbacks go double gloves?
Mahomes seems like a glove guy to me.
Yeah, I remember when Kurt Warner started doing it.
Kurt Warner wore it all the time.
Right, but he was like the first one that was just like, I can grip it better.
I love Kurt Warner. He didn't throw the best ball.
But I think he thought,
he was
better when he had the glove than without.
Whatever works. Teddy Bridgewater, double gloves.
Teddy had two gloves?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
How many times are we going to hear that Patrick Mahomes' dad played baseball?
Well, it's because it's awesome to be a two-sport athlete.
Did you know he was a pitcher?
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't. Oh.
For the rest of the day.
Thank
for
God 15 I'm here.
15-year career. Did you know Pat's
gosh.
A pitcher?
It was the most frustrating part of watching that game is they kept going back to Pat Mahomes' dad.
Yeah.
In the bleachers.
My buddy Tom goes, yeah, I forgot. Old man Peyton wore gloves at the end of his career, too. He couldn't hold the football because he didn't have any feeling in his fingers.
Yeah.
His hand was numb.
His arm's just kind of flailing around and a football somehow gets released.
Yeah.
In the steroids. Wait, what?
Steroids.
You remember that Al Jazeera documentary?
Yeah.
That went away. That went away real quickly.
Yes, it did.
All right, 53305. Better you today, text line, and you guys are hilarious. Tom Brady's coat is going to be huge, too. It is getting bigger and bigger. How skating became the most popular theme of the weekend. 745 on the fan. All right, some investigating here.
Mm-hmm. You like fast food?
I do. Do you? What more? We have fast food, hot fast food talk coming up.
Two things blew up the internet for me yesterday, and we'll talk about it later. Will we? Yeah. Number one, the Prez likes his fast food, and government shutdown means you get what's closest to the proximity of the White House.
Right, right.
Second.
I have some questions about that.
Oh.
About how that all went down.
Sure. That's fair.
Okay.
Second.
Well.
Buck, are you dialing live
on
our phone?
He doesn't know
what he's doing. He's panicking, full panic mode.
Well, I was trying to call our boss, but somebody left the phoner on. So
yeah, that happens.
Okay,
check.
All right, what was second?
Second is the gaze of Mr. Adam Gase.
Gase.
Gaze.
Yeah.
Of Adam Gase.
Yeah.
The gaze of his eyes.
Right. We got both of these things coming up.
In the world was that?
Yeah.
Okay, so there. I got that off my chest. I feel better. What do you want to do?
Well, two things took over the weekend for me, and I must have watched both of them, I don't know, a million times. Did you see who is on the call of LA Kings hockey this weekend?
Why would it? No.
Well,
why would that be anywhere near the radar with divisional round football?
Because of this.
Right here, yeah. Hands up.
Oh, watch out. Oh, he stole on him. He fired on Cuz. Hold on now. Oh, get it cracking then. Let's go. Snoop Dogg in the house. Let me see some. Drop the sticks, man. Let's get cracking, man. To the middle of the rink. Let's go. Number three wanted. I like that. Who was number three for us?
Dion Phaneuf.
Dion, go get cracking, Dion.
He likes it.
Go get him, Dion. Get him, Dion. Move, Dion. Get out the way. Go get him. Go get him.
Still jarring with him. A little chirping.
Okay, right. I like that. So when they do get into a competition like that, the referee has the sole control power to say, y'all not going to fight, right? Mm.
They can tell you that. You don't have to listen.
Well, they listen right there.
Yeah, yeah. See the big boys get in, the linesmen. Those guys have the toughest job.
Okay, all right. So that was just mushing going on. It was more mushing than fighting.
Yeah. Face wash.
Okay, all right.
Those gloves are stinky.
That's why I love this sport, man. That's why I love this, because you got to be 100% man to play this, man.
Sign me up for Snoop Dogg being the color analyst for every single event.
Yeah, how about anything? Can he do football, basketball? Yep. No, he couldn't do baseball. Stories.
Are you kidding me?
Could he take over the Dodgers?
Snoop Dogg story time?
Oh.
And that would be
Vince Scully
phenomenal.
To Snoop Dogg. Look where we've come. No, honestly, I think it'd be interesting to come out of retirement. What if we put Snoop Dogg on the booger machine and got rid of Booger and put Snoop Dogg down there on the field to do the analysis? Would that make Monday Night Football must watch TV?
But you know what it would do? It'd make Thursday night football better.
No, Monday needs the kick.
No, you don't. I'm surprised by this move. You're a traditionalist. You like the traditions and the staples. I think you need a pros pro crew. Nope, and that's why people don't like the Boogermobile, is because it's too radical of a change for Monday night football.
It's wonky.
Thursday night, put Snoop on there, your ratings are going to go up. Mm.
We've tried this Dennis Miller thing before.
On Monday night.
Snoop's
a million times better than Dennis Miller.
Yeah, and you're talking about Monday night, where people are conditioned to expect what you are used to on Monday night.
Dennis Miller, the first couple times, everyone's like, oh, this is kind of cool. It's interesting. He wore out. Would Snoop wear you out after a while? That's why
Thursday night is perfect.
At some point in time, everybody turns into the Bill Walton moment where it's volcano and Temecula.
But that Snoop Dogg on hockey, real hockey fan hated that.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
They hated that.
Yeah. Where's hockey guy right now? Would that bother you?
He sees hockey like you and I do. Which is like, oh no.
Where's the goon?
Go get him.
Where's the guy that comes in before? Where's the fight? What line sub was that? I'm just going to say, was it icing?
I like that. I'm on board with
every
this.
Hockey guy right now.
Okay.
All the hockey guys.
So ice skating took center stage for me. Mm. And then roller skating did too. Have you seen the commercial for Roller Kingdom?
No.
In Reno, Nevada. I will play it for you. And you tell me, are you going to send your kids roller skating now?
Hey, kid, would you like some drugs? The first one is free.
Want to check out my van? I got some candy.
Hey, kid, want to join our gang and spray paint under a bridge?
No, bug off, man. I'm going roller skating.
Because we roller skate today,
we will go to college tomorrow.
Prison is full of people that have never roller skated.
What?
I'm Brad Armstrong, owner of Roller Kingdom in Reno, Nevada, keeping your kids off the streets since 1999.
I say no to drugs.
I say no to gangs.
I say no to unplanned pregnancy.
I say no to meth.
I say no to reefer.
I say yes to roller skating.
Man, this Roller Kingdom is really putting us out of business.
You said it, man. This deal sucks.
But you know what? Maybe we should give up this life of crime and start
roller skating!
You tell me. You going roller skating now?
I freaking love that.
Yeah. Reno, Nevada. All we have to do is go down to Reno. It's the most Reno commercial ever.
Isn't it?
Prisons are full of people that have never been roller skating.
Probably true.
I want did the little kid say I don't want to get high on crack? I want to get high on skating,
yeah, roller skating. Like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't want meth or reefer either.
Reefer. Unplanned pregnancies.
I mean, wow. If you are going to
full transparency, that is probably, like this texter said, the greatest commercial ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
If you are going to be a business like roller skating, or if you're like a movie rental store, which your industry has not been popular in over 20 years.
You got to go off script.
And that right there, the Roller Kingdom in Reno, Nevada, you just got played in Portland, Oregon.
It's being played nationwide.
Everywhere.
It went viral.
I know. And a roller rink just closed right in my neighborhood. Very upset about it.
Oh, Skate World. Backward skate.
It was
slow
a dump. It was a dump. It needs to be that. Would you invest in that? And just have commercials like this. This might be a national treasure now.
Yeah. You know,
this might be
the
way just a national, just get a rink and let's go.
Come up with like businesses that just really need the viral help and do goofy crap like that for them all the time.
Right. And don't like, you know what today's roller rinks are? Those jumpy house places, whatever they go.
Oh, pump it up.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And you're just as more likely to get hurt there as you would at roller skating. So let's go roller skating.
I have a buddy who was an EMT.
Good Lord.
He's in a cushy desk job now, pencil pusher. But when he was at EMT, they would go out to those like the trampoline places, and he said at least twice a week.
Oh yeah,
at least twice a week.
Yeah, have you ever looked at the waiver you have to sign to get in there?
Yeah,
you probably gave away, I don't know, a couple million of life. I mean, it's yeah. So let's roller skating, a new investment. Let's go. Let's find it.
Man. The other thing in that commercial,
sorry, Buck, you have to have the old tan leather with the orange skates.
Yeah.
And cool guy will come in with his all blacks and the black
fluorescent laces on them too.
Oh yeah. We're not and you inline guys, you're not allowed out there.
Oh wow. You went inline on us. Rollerbladers.
Inliners, you're not allowed. It's only four wheels.
You know who's a big roller skater?
Four squares.
You know who's a big roller skater?
Who's that?
Damian Lillard.
Yeah. Really?
Loves roller skating.
Great.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, what were you going to say, Buck?
I don't remember.
Not important anymore?
I don't remember.
Oh, no, just that in that commercial, what you couldn't see was that the guy trying to lure the kids into the van ends up being the owner at the end in just a costume change. He's sitting there wearing a white tank top and his jeans and his beat-up van, and then by the end he's in a polo saying, come to Roller World.
Well, because he turned his life around because of roller skating.
I guess.
He was the guy in the van.
Now he owns the place.
Here we go.
So thank you to skating, the new hotness over the weekend, Snoop Dogg and Roller Kingdom. We appreciate you.
Reefer.
All right. We briefly discussed it, but it's going to be very cold in Kansas City this weekend. And Matt Nagy goes all in on his kicker, and Adam Gase has a great gaze. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.